Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Oh, that song doesn't put you in a good mood. I don't know what will on a gorgeous Saturday afternoon in Chicago. Yeah, this is what summer's supposed to feel like. Granted, we have the storms, of course, and the high humidity, but a day like this is absolutely gorgeous. Everybody's waving here on outside of the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue on 720 WGN. Everyone's so pretty outside today. It looks wonderful out there. I hope you're enjoying your Saturday. John Hanson in for Dane Neal for On the Road, and which is really funny because Dane himself is actually on the road. So we've got a lot to get to in the program today. But before we get to any of that, let's get to the host of the show. Dane, you're driving down to Florida. You get to live the show as a road trip in and of itself.
No, John, it's great to hear you for sure. You know, but this is all about walking the walk. People said, hey, you know, you could have a show where you talk about being on the road, but you can't really be on the road. And I decided to silence my critics and get out there and do it.
And you're quite on the road. Where in Florida are you going? What are you doing?
Well, you know, just starting some of it, so a lot of it is yet to be determined. We'll share it with the listeners next week on the show. But we're in the kind of the Kissimmee, you know, kind of Orlando area. So we're going to be doing some Gatorland, right? So we'll be getting up close and personal with some of the great predators of America. We'll be riding one of those fan boats, and I don't mean fan boats like the kind you have outside the Allstate Showcase Studio. I mean, you know, like the giant fan,
yeah,
you know, the big. You know, you tend to turn around and kind of make those funny voices like we all did when we were kids. And I know we're going to see some other stuff as well. I mean, a little bit is left up to what goes on. It's all about the journey and kind of letting it come to you. On the way back, we're going to be hitting a few spots in Indiana as part of the Honest to Goodness Indiana thing and see the world's largest children's museum. We'll do that. A great winery and distillery. Well, you know, the kids, there's a kid area in there too, I guess, where they do some, low-level tasting, and then we'll visit the only agricultural theme park in America,
really,
in Indiana as well. So it should be, yeah, I guess. I mean, what do you think is there? I don't know.
I don't know.
Experience it.
I just remember that. I remember the tagline. There's more than corn in Indiana, but apparently at this place, that's probably what they got. That and soybeans and a whole bunch of other things. I got to show the tractors. I don't know. That sounds cool.
Yeah, there is more than corn in Indiana, but it's also, you've heard that phrase, if it's not broke, don't fix it. There's plenty of corn in Indiana as well.
And there's a lot of great stuff happening in Chicago this year. You wanted to highlight one of the things that people can do this weekend, right?
Not just one, but two. The there's so much going on. And so Windy City Smokeout is going on, Grand in the River as we speak. Get out there, some of the best barbecue, country music, craft beer going on. That's awesome. And then coming up in the middle of the week and through the weekend is the Kane County Fair. Have you ever been out to the county fair?
I have never been to that county fair. I've been to state fairs. I've been to random county fairs throughout our great land, but never Kane County. But, man, I've seen some pictures of it. It looks like an absolute blast.
Yeah. Well, it's got all the things you know and love about a county fair with the, you know, demolition derby, rodeos, you know, the midway with the zipper and the tilt-a-whirl and all those kind of things. A lot of ag stuff. The 4-H kids are out there. Some Bengal tigers, you name it. And Larry Breon, the president of the Kane County Fair, we did a great interview with him that you'll be able to hear a little later on today at WGNradio.com. So that should be pretty awesome.
That sounds like a blast. Is that so? You just take you take 88 straight out west, and where is the fairgrounds? I guess I could look it up here and answer the questions for everybody.
It's a Randall Road, and then kind of where like 38, which is Roosevelt Road, and I think North Avenue collide.
Yeah.
And they converge in what is kind of an oasis of fun going on until the end of the week. So it should be pretty great. You can drive any car out there. I don't know if there's public transportation getting out there, but get in the car. And I want to encourage people, and you too, John Hanson, is to share your first car, your favorite car, or your dream car in order to be the bona fide ride winner this week from Bona Beef. So what was your first car, John Hanson?
Oh, man. Well,
did you have a car?
Yeah, so I got the old Chrysler Plymouth, the old minivan. That was my first car, the hand-me-down. It didn't really shift gears very well, but it was four wheels, and it's what my parents gave me.
stylish and practical. That's you, John.
Exactly. The first car, the first new car I ever bought is actually the one I have now for about 3.5 years. It's a Mazda M3, and I love it, I got to say.
Very sporty, but also consider it on the mileage. I'm sure it gets pretty good gas mileage.
It sure does. Sure does. About 40 on the highway. It's wonderful. Yeah, but that's an awesome. Go ahead, Dane.
Well, I'm just excited. I saw some of the notes, and I love the fact that you're going to be sharing with the listeners some of the road trips and kind of doing some of those, you know, summer stuff that a lot of people are thinking about and doing. I'm excited to hear what you guys have on tap today.
Yeah, we do have a lot on tap. We're going to be talking with Corey Jobe about kind of one-tank trips. You know, everyone loves planning the big trip, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a blast with the family. But what can you do maybe on a day trip, something like that? We're going to talk about stuff here in Illinois. Also going to be chatting about drive-in movie theaters. I just went to Harvest Moon Drive-In down in Gibson City, so we're going to be talking with the manager from there about some of the great things that they do, how they're able to survive and really thrive. The place was packed for a double feature, and there was nothing more Americana than going to a drive-in, Dane.
Well, I love some of the stuff that you do, and this is one of the things, one of your great gifts that I know the listeners love, and of course your TV fans, is that you do take us to those kind of cool experiences. The drive-in movie is something that you think might have gone by the wayside. I love the idea about it, and so it'll be cool to hear how they've been able to kind of keep up with the times on the tech side to make it, you know, not such a compromise on the vision and sound.
Oh, yeah, it looked great. I mean, I know they had to go through the digital reboot a few years ago, and that really hurt a few of them, but the ones that made it through, man, oh, man, it looks really good. So, yeah, we got a great show. You're the hardest working man in the business, Dane. You're on vacation, and you're still calling in here and doing a little semi-hosting here.
Wrestling gators, I got to loosen up. Don't want to pull anything. And, of course, you want to come back with all your arms and legs. So I'm going to let you get back to the show. You were in good hands with Lisa, and I can't wait to hear the rest of it.
Dane, I really appreciate you calling in, all right?
You bet. Talk to you soon.
All right, this is On the Road with Dane Neal. You just heard from him, and it's John Hansen now taking over for the next about 2 hours until about 4 o'clock. Okay, here's what I want to do today in addition to all the great guests we have. 312-981-7200. I know many of you, our signal goes out very far. Where are you right now? Are you road tripping right now with your family, with some friends? Send us a text, 312-981-7200. If you're actually driving, don't be the one to send the text. Hand it off to the kids, the wife, the husband, something like that, the partner, and let us know where you're traveling. I want to know where you're listening from on this gorgeous Saturday in the Midwest. We're going to take a break in just a second, but first, before we do that, I do want to tease the next thing we're going to talk about, and that's with my dad. Dad, how you doing today?
Hey, doing fine, John.
When I think road trips, what I think of is growing up, and the first question I have before we take this quick commercial break, Dad, is I'm the middle son. There's a younger son and an older son. There were three of us. Why did you pile us in the car so many times on road trips? Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, it was just the experience of, you know, getting the family together, getting them away from Illinois, and just sort of experiencing, you know, the wonders of the United States with our kids. So it was just a time honored treasure that has been going on and within our family for a long time. Even when I was young, and we would go on a vacation, you know, and we thought it was a road trip, but it was only to either Wisconsin, Michigan, or Indiana. But it was an adventure.
Dad, I love that diplomatic answer. I was wondering why the heck you would suffer through that. But that was a good answer. All right, I want to talk with you, Dad, because I remember some fascinating stories of growing up and on these road trips. So, Dad, hang on the line. We're going to chat after this. You're listening to 720 WGN On the Road with Dane Neal. John Hansen in. WGN, John Hansen in for Dane Neal, talking on the road, and we did get a couple texts already on in, 815, group headed to the Abbey in Lake Geneva to celebrate Lynn and Marie Ferguson's 50th wedding anniversary. I love the Abbey in Lake Geneva, been there a couple of times, and got a nice text, a message from someone on 847, listening on Lakeshore Drive right now, sent a beautiful picture as well. Please tell me that's the passenger taking the picture and texting us. Feel free to text us if you're on a road trip today, 312-981-7200. We want to find out where the road takes you. Unless you're the one driving, please hand over the phone to a passenger. When I think about road trips, I think of my dad and my whole family. And I have my dad on the line out in Downers Grove enjoying a gorgeous Saturday afternoon. How's Mom doing, Dad? Oh, you there, Dad? Did I lose Dad? No, we didn't lose Dad. Let me hold on. All right, Dad, you there?
I'm here.
How's Mom?
Yeah, doing fine. She's just outside listening to WGN and getting ready for the Jimmy Buffett concert for tonight.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that.
Okay, so, Dad, the earliest road trips I remember were us piloting the car in the white station wagon and going up to Hayward, Wisconsin. But the northern Wisconsin was a big part of your childhood, too.
Yeah, we went up to Hayward, but basically we're up in the Tomahawk, Minocqua area quite a bit. But it was just a nice way to get away for a week or two and just from a childhood standpoint, was able to visit with some friends. So there were five kids in our family, and there were seven kids in another family, the Doherty family. And so there were 12 kids all the time on vacation. So it was a riot growing on up.
How did Grandma and Grandpa and Auntie Pat and Uncle Ray deal with y'all?
Jack Daniels, I think.
I think that's the only way they'd be able to do it.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun, but very hard workers, but very hard partiers also.
Yeah, I believe it. Now, going up to northern Wisconsin was a blast. We also went to Canada. We were just so lucky that you were able to take us on these road trips, and they're always great. The best part about a road trip is there's no bad story. Every bad story, any disaster, quote-unquote, that happens on a road trip ends up being a wonderful story later on. Are there any that stick out with you, either from whether when you were a kid or when you were raising us?
Well, it's just a matter that we had to survive the road trip, and part of the survival of the road trip was Mom came on up with car prizes. When we were growing up, it was car bingo, where we had a bingo game, and you took a look at all the license plates, and you tried to get a bingo based on the states you had, but.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys were a little bit more advanced than that, so it was a matter that Mom pretty much had a car prize for every one of you for at least 1 hour on the road.
So. I remember a lot of Tootsie Pops. Was that part of car prizes?
Yeah, Tootsie Pops, and it was just dealing with food to keep you guys pretty much in almost like a diabetic coma for pretty much most of the time.
Now, I this seems so strange for someone that was, how old was I, 3, 4, 5 years old?
Yeah.
But you must remember my greatest fear of the road trip.
Oh, yes, running out of gas. You were pretty much sort of in the middle seat. You would get out of your car seat a lot of the time, and it was almost like having a parrot on my shoulder the whole time. You watch the gas gauges, and you'd let me know when we were overheating with gas, and overheating with as far as the temperature. And one time we had an overheat problem, and part of the ways of solving that was putting on the heat in the car while you're in summertime. You couldn't have air conditioning, so. But it was just nice having a good co-pilot very close to me during the whole trip.
You can't imagine there's many five-year-olds out there that stress over whether parents are going to forget to fill the tank with gas. I guess it was a harbinger of things to come, as I am kind of an avid worrier.
Yeah, well, but it got us through. But one area that I always, when we looked at trying to look at Normandy and the invasion of D-Day, the preparation of our trips was no short of that.
You had to pack a lot of stuff, yeah.
Well, it was just a matter. That's why I took our Chrysler minivan, which was a great car during that time, and I made a mount for the TV. We had a 14-inch color TV, instant on. Made a VCR and a Game Boy, and all of you guys had headsets, and it was just so nice relaxing as parents, but it was just the silence in the car while you guys were watching, you know, the great classics, you know, Uncle Buck and Blues Brothers and The Great Outdoors and Jaws and all those movies. And, you know, that kept you 90 minutes at a time.
And I just want to reiterate, this was before there were actual televisions in cars. We're telling that my dad jerry-rigged this wooden thing that he glued and nailed and screwed together to fit the minivan, to fit a television with a VCR on it. And it was quite a duct tape solution, but it really worked, Dad.
Yeah, it was. It got us through a lot of the road trips, and no one got killed, and that's a success.
Well, except a moose, but we don't have to tell that entire story. But we were in a couple miles south of maybe Dryden on 502 in Ontario, and all of a sudden, good thing I was awake in the car with you. Good thing I was a parent that day.
Yeah, you were. You decided to sit up in the front seat. You had gotten to the age where you were able to sit in the front seat, seat belted in, and then this animal had started coming out of the woods, and you start yelling, a horse, stop the car. And you didn't take a look at the antlers that were on the horse.
Oh, that's too funny. I think the moose ended up okay. I don't know. You might have clipped him with your trailer that was driving behind. Well, Dad, we got a break, unfortunately, and get to news and some other really fascinating things. But I just want to say that I really appreciate the. It must have been a headache to deal with us, but those road trips were a blast. There's something I know that's something that you remember as a kid and into your adult life. I'm so glad you were able to pass it on to us, and it's hopefully something that we all can pass on to the next generation. And guess what? We're going to start next week with first. Big troop to Wisconsin for the whole family. I'm looking forward to that, Dad.
That's right. It'll be fun, and everybody will be going up in at least three cars,
yes.
So you guys will be experiencing something new in your own car going on up that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Dad, thank you so much for calling and tell Mom I said hello, too.
I will. Have a good show. We'll be looking forward to listening to it.
Thanks so much, Dad. 720 WGN on the road with Daniel, but it's John Hanson in for Daniel. 312-981-7200. Let us know where you're road tripping today. Have the passenger make the text, though. Or if you had any solutions for your kids, if you travel with a bunch of them, how did you keep kids quiet on the road? Quick commercial break. We're back with more here on 720.
Hey everyone, this is Will Power, IndyCar driver, and you are on the road today on WGN.
720 WGN. Dane out today. John Hanson filling in on the road. I've been asking people to let me know about where they are listening from. If you're on a road trip, 708 Texan, by the way, not the driver's Texan, of course. 708 says, heading down to Atlanta to see the Cubbies play against the Braves and visit with the family. That sounds like a lot of fun, especially if those Cubbies can win a couple more out in Baltimore before they win hopefully three in Atlanta. We also got a text from 209. I had my dad on earlier talking about how I was always so fearful of that we were going to run out of gas on road trips. And the 219 chimes in that it's funny because their son, who is now 26, when he was younger, he would freak out of gas if the gas was below half full. I would do the same thing. So he says to me over and over, Mom, we're going to run out of gas. We're going to run out of gas. Maybe that's my mom texting me, though. I know I'm not 26. But yes, that was a thought of mine as well. And also the 773, my dad and I were talking about when we almost hit a moose on 502, which is a road in Ontario. And someone chimed in saying, I've driven that 502 from Fort Francis to Dryden many times. Seen a lot of rocks, moose, and bears. It's a gorgeous stretch of roadway in our neighbors of the north. Quick piece of housekeeping. By the way, we love Bona Beef. Who doesn't? And you could win free beef for a year. Just that sounds incredible, those words. I can't believe they were just strung together and came out of my mouth. Beef for a year. All you got to do is text in about the one car that you'd never eat a juicy Italian beef sandwich in. So you love it that much, you would never eat that sandwich in there. And then you get to eat it for a year. For more information on everything, go on to Bona's 19 locations. Go to Bona.com. But text us 312-981-7200. Either where you are on this road trip Saturday or the car that you never eat a Bona beef sandwich in so you can win one for a year. Okay, so road tripping takes on many different meanings, whether it's packing the family in and going to explore a new part of the country. A lot of people these days road trip for events and sometimes physical events like marathons, 5Ks, things like that. And here in Chicago is no different. People from all over the country come for the marathon in October or this weekend for the Rock and Roll Marathon Series that's here in Chicago today and tomorrow. Joining that and transitioning a little bit is my next guest, who I'm so excited to talk about. Her name is Catherine Switzer, and that may not be a household name, but I bet a lot of you know her story. In 1967, 50 years ago, she decided to run the Boston Marathon, which is nothing that absurd, I would imagine. I mean, it's hard as can be to run a marathon, don't get me wrong, but to imagine that this is the time before any woman had ever run the Boston Marathon. So she decided she was going to do it, not to set any, break any new barriers. She just wanted to run a marathon. She was physically assaulted halfway through the race by the manager of the Boston Marathon, and she continued, persevered. She got in a big fight with her boyfriend along the way at mile six, still ran 20 more miles and finished. And Catherine Switzer joins us now on 720 WGN. Catherine, it's so wonderful to talk with you.
Hey, it's great to be here, and it's wonderful to be in the big old town of Chicago again. Fantastic to be here for the Humana Rock and Roll Chicago Half Marathon weekend. And this morning, I was out there running the 5K. It was awesome.
Now, 5K is more my speed. How'd you do?
I did okay. We just were there jogging, really, to encourage other people to get off the their butts and get out there and run. And you know, that anybody can do it, and especially older people. I'm trying to motivate them to understand that active aging is really the way to go, that the more you do, the more you can do. And the passport really to a long, healthy, and quality of life is to stay active. Mm-hmm. You know, I ran the Boston Marathon again just 10 weeks ago.
So 50 years, wow.
The first time. And I was so grateful to get to that starting line. But I was really, really also validated by the fact that I've kept my fitness up most of my life. So that's what I want everybody to do, to have that great sense of being able to do something what we always thought was impossible.
Catherine, we talked the other day on WCIU, and I was just fascinated by the story. So if you don't mind, if we could turn back the clock just a few years to 1967, this is really hard to imagine. Now, you decided to run the Boston Marathon because you loved running and you felt like you could do it, but this wasn't some big crusade for you.
It wasn't. I was just a kid who wanted to run. Other women had run marathons, including one at Boston the year before, by jumping out of the bushes and just running. My coach insisted that I sign up and register for the race, that it was a serious competition. So I did, and they mistook me for a guy because I signed with my initials, KV Switzer. It wasn't designed to defraud or fake anybody out. It was because I'd been signing my name that way since I was 12. And so, you know, when the incident happened, as you described, where the official attacked me in the race, it changed everything for me. It really radicalized me. I realized that women were, you know, marginalized, that they didn't believe in themselves. People didn't believe in them and their physical capabilities. And I decided after I finished that race, which I was determined to do, was to create opportunities globally so that women would be welcome and have a non-intimidating, welcoming environment to run in and to break down those myths of self-limitation, and was really privileged to do that by organizing races around the world and eventually getting the women's marathon into the Olympic Games in 1984. So it was an amazing moment for me at the street on the streets of Boston, because it really changed my life and the consequently millions of women's lives.
It's truly inspirational. One of the most inspirational things is that you weren't seeking to do that, which is often how our heroes, our inspirations, you know, the moment comes to them sometimes and they're able to rise to it. This is a show, Catherine, by the way, the show I'm filling in for, is about road tripping and driving in the car. And I got to mention, you didn't live in Boston at the time. You had to do a little road trip yourself to get there in 1967.
Yeah, I lived in Syracuse, New York. I was a student at the university. But in those days, one of the great joys of running was to travel, you know, everywhere to run a road race. Of course, they were small local ones, mostly, you know, or little surrounding towns like the Beet Run, the Onion Derby, the Grape Run, these wonderful kind of country races, and then the big ones like Boston. Well, Boston was really about the only big one in those days, and then they grew to New York, to Chicago, to Los Angeles, Berlin, London, Athens. Imagine now there are people who run not only in every 50 states, but like with the Rock and Roll Series, they go all around the world. So, you know, there are hundreds of races, and it's a great destination, the ultimate road trip.
Do you remember the car that you drove in 1967 to get there?
I do. It was in my coach's car, and it was like a beat-up Pontiac. It was hilarious. I think it was like a 1961, 62 Pontiac. And we shared the driving. But I'll never forget my first car to go to Boston when I was driving myself was an old VW.
Really?
I have to kind of get a loan against the car so that I could get to Boston, because we had no money in those days.
Right.
You know, just to get there was a big deal.
Yeah. Catherine, I hope you can stay on the line just for a few more minutes. We got to take a quick commercial break, but I'd love to break down that race a little bit more and what happened, and then talk about the Chicago Half Marathon and all the events that are going on with the rock and roll events this weekend. You mind staying on the line?
Okay, just a few minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll go quickly through the commercial break. This is 720.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hey, everybody. Danny the Count Coker here from Counting Cars and Count 77. You are on the road with Dane. Come on, people, turn it up.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod?
John Hanson in for Dane Neal here on the road on 720 WGN. So honored to be joined on the line by Catherine Switzer, who was the first woman to run the Boston Marathon. But Catherine, it wasn't easy. You had the manager of the race. What, he ran up behind you, almost tackled you in the middle of it because he did not want a woman to run that race.
Absolutely. He was furious that a woman was wearing a bib number in his race. He thought he had been hoodwinked, sabotaged. You know, she's got to get out of there. This is inappropriate. There was nothing, by the way, in the rule books, nothing about gender on the entry form. There wasn't even a, you know, anything about gender on the entry form. Nobody believed a woman could or would want to run a marathon. So he was really furious, and he was coming from a different place, you know, a different time. And I had followed the rules and entered the race. So there we were. We had a collision on the course, and, of course, you know, my boyfriend decked him, and I went on to finish. But it was an event that changed my life.
Yeah, and not only did your boyfriend deck him, but then a few miles later, he started to feel regrets and blame you. You guys got in a fight in the middle of the race. You still had to run 20 miles after that after a big fight.
You know, we did. We had such a big argument because, you know, he was a big athlete, and he thought I had ruined his Olympic possibilities by hitting an official. And I had told him not to come to Boston in the first place. So there were several arguments going on. And eventually, of course, he had to start walking in the race because he had never trained for it. And I beat him.
So good for you.
Another kind of just argument at the finish line. But in the end, we kissed and made up and got married the next year, if you can imagine this. But, of course, you know, with that kind of relationship, you know what happened. We got divorced after that.
I don't mean to laugh, Catherine, but it's the true American tale, really, what you had there.
I'll tell you.
The details of
the marathon, just like a road trip, gives you a lot of life lessons.
It sure does. Catherine, and by the way, if anyone wants to read more of the details, it's fascinating. I read the excerpt from Marathon Woman. People can find that book wherever books are sold, Catherine.
Wherever books are sold, on Amazon, and also on my website, marathonwoman.com, and I'll send you an autographed copy if you ask for it.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
I would love to do that. Another thing I'd love people to do is to realize that women around the world still need opportunities and empowerment. I founded a foundation called 261 Fearless. Go to 261fearless.org. Join us. Start a club in your community. Help empower a woman so that she can feel the same great sense of triumph that we feel today by running.
And we should, of course, mention again, you're in town for the Rock and Roll Marathon Series, which the races are today. You've already had a few of them, and tomorrow too, right?
Absolutely. I'm here for the Humana Rock and Roll Chicago Half Marathon. I ran the 5K today. Tomorrow, everybody's here lined up looking for an autograph to help them on the way tomorrow in the half marathon of the 10K, and they can still sign up. So come out to the expo. That's where I am until 4 o'clock.
Catherine, thank you so much for giving us a few extra minutes. We really appreciate it, and thanks so much for your time.
You're so welcome. Thanks for your interest in the Humana Rock and Roll Series.
Absolutely. All right. This is On the Road with Dane Neal with John Hanson filling in for Dane. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then Lise, our producer, has a fascinating road trip that she's taking tomorrow. It may be one that a lot of you have taken to, is it in southern Wisconsin, Lise? I think it is. Yeah, it's just over the border. So we're going to find out where she's going. I've never been here, and I've been to a lot of interesting places. Never been to one of these. We'll have that coming up next on 720. WGN, John Hanson on the road with Dane Neal is this program. That was a weird way to say that, Lise. I really went around those words. On the Road with Dane Neal is the program. John Hanson in on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon. You got to forgive me. It was just about 12 hours ago. I signed off with Esmeralda as we filled in for Patty Vasquez last night. Man,
you are a renaissance man.
Well, that's a nice little transition,
Thank
Lise.
Thank you. I've been planning that all day.
Just a quick moment before we get to the Renaissance Fair, which is the answer to the teaser we had earlier. I would love for you to text in and be part of the conversation. 312-981-7200 or give us a call. Let us know where you're on the road today. Obviously, if you're driving, please don't text. Have your kid or your wife or your husband or your partner text on in. But we want to know where you're going on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon here in the Midwest. Just a perfect day. Get outside, enjoy it, and roll down the windows and blare WGN radio all day long. Okay, so Lise, you are going into Wisconsin, which I'm going to Wisconsin next week, but I'm going, you know, fishing, boating, going for a swim in the lake. You are going to the Renaissance Fair.
The Bristol Renaissance Fair, which they mark it as the biggest Renaissance Fair, at least for sure in the Midwest, but maybe in the U.S. And we started going like 5 years ago. My parents actually went for their 30th wedding anniversary, which is hilarious. But they
That's where they went
go.
For their yeah. 30th.
They like
together alone
hotel.
Or with you guys?
Yeah, no, alone. And then the next weekend they were like, we have to go as a family. So they brought my brother and I, and we were kind of like, okay. But then we get there, and it's the coolest thing, because if you've been, you know, you drive up and it's just off, you know, 94 or whatever that. What is that, 294? You just take it up past
yeah,
Green.
90, yeah, 90.
Mm-hmm. And you get off, and there's this huge parking lot. I mean, huge, huge. A couple football fields. And it's all these cars, and these people are getting out of their cars. I want to make a documentary about it because you see these people transform from, you know, suburban whatever.
Right.
And they're putting on their costumes. They're like half, you know, they've got their, like, swords or whatever.
Well, that begs the question, are you going to get dressed up?
Well, you know, no, it's an investment.
Yeah,
one
I
of
bet.
My friends from college was really into it, and it was kind of funny with her. She was so into it, but like didn't want anyone to know because she was like pretty cool, you know. So mm-hmm. we would go together, and she would get all dressed up, like she had all these pirate outfits and like all these like a weird animal that she put on her shoulder that like she had pulled a string. It was like a puppet thing. Oh,
whole thing.
But we couldn't take pictures and post them because she didn't want it to like you know mess with her.
Well, there is kind of this stigma about the Renaissance Fair that it's for dorks or nerdy people. But really, I mean, it looks like a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
I've never been to anything like that.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's like it's a different world. And they really embrace it. I mean, there's people. So they have basically, they hire actors to, and I've had a couple of friends that have, they hire to like walk around to like talk in, you know, period accent and to participate with the people that are attending. But another really cool aspect of it is there's a lot of performance, a lot of music. There's a lot of like Shakespearean kind of things. And so there's a schedule. You get this map at the door, mm-hmm. at the gate, and there's all these different things going on throughout the day. So we have like our favorite, you know, musicians that we go see from year to year. And then there's also a joust, of course.
Of course.
And there's a queen. There's a queen's parade.
Does everyone talk in old English sort
yes.
of... talking to it?
And it's actually funny because I used to date an English guy.
Okay.
And I brought him a couple years ago because, you know, it's like super American.
Right.
And they would like come up to him and be like, oh, are you doing all right? And he was like, yeah, I'm good, thanks. You know, it was like
in his normal accent. Or
yeah,
his
and they'd be
normal,
like,
yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, you have a good accent. And he's like, yeah, I practice all the time. But he said it was like walking into a Monty Python sketch. You know, it's just like this weird world.
So
but it's awesome.
Do you do the English accent when you're
no,
there, or do you stay on the outside a little bit?
I do. I want to look at. I'm an observer.
Do you get judged because you don't dive into
no,
it, or is everyone welcoming?
No. Everybody's super welcoming, and that's a nice thing. You know, I mean, I do wear like a feather crown thing. That's like the extent. I try to wear a dress that's like kind of could pass off as like a modern Renaissance thing.
You're a modern
Nothing
Renaissance
too.
Woman.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's really
you
fun.
You could go. I just, you're going to love it. I mean, I could see you doing it on TV too. You should.
I was just going to say, yes, because this sounds like a perfect thing to get on the costume and a show off, because
oh
I go
God.
All the nine yards. Yeah. You know, there's something fun. I mean, I grew up doing theater and stuff, and I got to get a chance to put on costumes, and you just feel like you feel the part, and you go into it, and I imagine that'd be quite an experience. That would be a lot of fun. And so it's tomorrow. So it runs for a while, and then you're just going for a day.
Yeah, so it's every weekend between 4th of July weekend and then Labor Day weekend. So you got to get there. And it's pretty easy to, you know, it's like an hour drive from
mm-hmm.
Chicago.
Sounds like a fun little road trip.
Yeah, it's actually one tank of gas.
And that's a segue into what we're going to be talking about after the break. At least you're very good at this.
I try.
We got a lot coming up on the second hour of On the Road with Daniel with John Hansen. We're going to be talking to Corey Jobe, who is the director of Illinois State Tourism. And we're going to be talking about one tank trips and some other things, romantic getaways, things that you can do here in this great state of Illinois that don't really require necessarily a week away, or you got to bring the whole family and it's got to be a whole big thing. Because, you know, summer, I don't want to say it's not winding down, we're just in the middle of it, but the planning for it, I'm sure that if, you know, you've probably already planned your big vacations, but these are little ones that you can still plan, little road trips here in the coming weeks. After we talk to Corey, we're going to talk to Mike, who's the owner of the Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City, Illinois, right off Route 47. I was just there last weekend. I go every year to the drive-in. An incredible, fun experience. You feel like you've taken a trip back to 1956 when you go to the drive-in. So we're going to talk about him and the business of drive-in movie theaters. And that should be a lot of fun. That's all coming up in the next hour of On the Road with Daniel with John Hansen. WGN, John Hansen in for Dane Neal with On the Road. Dane's actually on a road trip and listening on his way down to Florida. He called in earlier in the show to chat about some stuff as well. So he is talking the talk, as he does every week, and walking the walk, taking a road trip here in the summer and a long one all the way down to Florida. Great to talk with him. By the way, 6301 texted in, Lisa, and said that anyone can go to the fair and you can wear pirate, steampunk, animals, Viking, goth, whatever. This person's been going for nearly 20 years. But enough about Wisconsin. I talked about Wisconsin with my dad, and we've been talking about the Renaissance Fair. Let's stay right here in this great state of Illinois, where there are plenty of great road trips that are still available for you and your couple, your wife, your husband, your partner, the whole family, many of them just a gas tank away. And joining us right now is Corey Jobe. You are the director of the Illinois State Tourism. And Corey, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, John, thanks for having me.
It's always, and man, when you look at the weather today is that day to get in the car, roll down the windows, turn us up on the radio, and go for a drive, man.
Yeah, what better weather, beautiful, low humidity. It's a great time to get out on the road in Illinois this summer.
Yeah, and you know, some of the things that we are available to do here are really under 2 hours away. Let's talk about some of those state parks that you can go on for a fun trip with the family.
Yeah, you know, my favorite, and a lot of people think they have to go outside the state to enjoy the great outdoors, but, you know, just 90 minutes south of Chicago is one of my favorite areas in the state, Starved Rock Country and Starved Rock State Park, Starved Rock Lodge. Both the park, which is located in Oglesby, has 18 different sandstone canyons, beautiful seasonal waterfalls, fantastic hiking, great bike trails, zip line courses, and then Matheson State Park that is just about 5 miles. It's kind of the hidden gem. It's still being discovered, even more beautiful seasonal waterfalls, but it's literally 90 minutes away.
Wow.
It's a great weekend trip, like you said earlier. It's for the family. It's for couples. It's a girls' getaway. And just in downtown Ottawa, Illinois, that's right there in the heart of Starved Rock Country, some fantastic restaurants. One of my favorites, a microbrewery called the Lone Buffalo.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, this restaurant, you would think it's in downtown Chicago, world-class food, handcrafted beer, and they're growing all the hops on a farm about 10 miles outside of Ottawa, and using it all for their beer production. So it's a fun trip. And, you know, I just had a friend of mine call me last week and said, hey, I've got 10 girlfriends wanting to get out of town for the weekend. And I said, go to Starved Rock, and they're there right now.
So that's awesome. Exciting. Yeah, you know, you had me at tours, hiking, canoeing, and kayaking, but, man, you really hook, line, and sinker when you're talking microbreweries, because really that is, like, one of the great new things as craft beer has really seen a boom and local businesses starting to brew their own beer. That's really become an awesome experience, and not only, of course, here in Chicago, all over the place, whether it's Ottawa, Champaign, Urbana. There's so many places with great microbreweries.
Well, you said it, John. I mean, I love to travel for food and craft beer and craft wine and craft spirits. And here in Illinois, we have 110 different wineries. We have over 250 microbreweries, and we have over 65 craft spirits master craft distilleries, and they're dotted all throughout the state. Obviously, many of them are here in the Chicagoland area, but you hop in a car and drive to either Starved Rock Country for the weekend and go for hiking and biking, but then the nightlife in terms of craft beer and craft spirits. But that's happening all around the state, whether it's in Galena, whether it's in the Shawnee National Forest in deep southern Illinois, or along the Great River Road, the mighty Mississippi. People typically know those areas for, you know, the destination and what they typically go for. But, you know, all these great craft makers are all dotted all throughout these cool attractions and destinations around the state, and just makes a complete weekend getaway, or in my case, I'd like for people to travel for a week.
Yeah, right.
They travel the state.
Well, that's you just doing your job as a state tourism director. Corey Jobe joining us on the line. By the way, 312-981-7200. I'd love if you've got a hidden spot in Illinois. I'm sure Corey's heard of it. Or maybe we can stump Corey with a new place that he hasn't discovered yet. Give us a text, 312-981-7200. While we got Corey on the line, might as well discover some really new places. This isn't necessarily discovered a new place. In fact, it's an old place, but they've treated it so well. It's a wonderful experience. It's probably a little more than a tank from Chicago, unless you've got really good gas mileage, is down to Springfield. And they have some, I mean, the lawmakers can't really get anything done. I know you probably can't say anything about that, Corey, but man, the area is great for if you love history.
Well, it's true. It's for the history buffs. It's for not only for President Abraham Lincoln. It's on along Route 66, but it's also a great family destination as well because of the Presidential Library Museum. One of my favorite things that happens now through August 13th, and it runs Tuesdays through Sundays in Springfield, is a program called History Comes Alive. And you literally step back into the 19th century America with this program, and you have 19th century characters that are dressed. You can even meet Mr. Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln, and they stroll the streets. There's live performances by a group called the Lincoln Troubadours, and all this happens at the state historic sites of the old state capitol, the Dana Thomas House, Lincoln's home, which is one of the only free National Park Service sites in the country, and it's all within walking distance of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. And the History Comes Alive program is available, is going on through August, but something that's happening through the end of the year is this great new exhibit at the museum called The Rivalry, and it's the Cubs versus the Cardinals, and it's an exhibit that Major League Baseball has worked with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Museum, and it runs through the end of the year, but it's probably one of the only times that Major League Baseball will allow this both types of memorabilia in one location. So if you're a Cub or Cardinal fan,
yeah,
the place to be is in Springfield this summer to check out the rivalry exhibit in Springfield.
Well, that's ground zero for that rivalry down in Springfield. I know it. My partner Brett's parents live down in Springfield. They're Cardinals fans. And having gone down to Springfield now,
fighting line
there. Yeah, that's right where you got it, right there. And also, by the way, if you're ever in Springfield, Obed and Isaacs, they took this really old house and turned it into a really cool restaurant. And I think they brew their own beer there, too.
They do. They brew the beer actually in the carriage house next door.
That's so cool.
And they've taken the grounds next to the carriage house and created an outdoor bocce ball garden, an outdoor bar. And it sits right on Route 66 and right across the street from the Lincoln home. So it's a really great location, great beer. And, of course, when you're in Springfield, you got to try the horseshoe.
Oh, yes, of course.
Springfield is known for the horseshoe. You know, that's bread, choice of meat, French fries smothered in cheese sauce.
Which is, it's the perfect combination for me. It has all my loves and none of the vegetables, which is perfect. Hey, Corey, by the way, while we're talking about Springfield, we've been getting a lot of calls and texts. Let's go to Brent. Brent, you got a secret place in Illinois, and it's a little bit east of Springfield, right?
Yes.
What's your favorite place here, the secret little spot in Illinois?
It's along Interstate 57, and it's the Arcola Arthur area, the Amish country. They have couple of nice restaurants in that area also.
Yeah, over in Arcola, that's a great area. And I love Amish country areas. It just reminds you of a simpler time. Everyone's as friendly as can be. And really, you can kind of stroll those streets. Brent, thank you so much for the phone call. Corey, that's a great area over there.
Oh, it's a fantastic area. And, you know, the listener just mentioned, it's probably one of the top five. It's one of the largest Amish settlements in the Midwest. And we work very closely. People are very interested in that type of history. What I like about going to the Amish area you can literally, they invite various Amish couples, invite people in to take a tour and then provide a home-cooked meal. And that's pretty unique and something that you don't see, get to experience too often. And they have a lot of great furniture stores that are handmade Amish furniture that's just so unique and one of a kind. And it's really approachable. And, I would encourage, and it's in a great location, too. It's a fun time.
We got a text from the 563 White Pine State Park in Oregon, Illinois. Hiking, yep. Limestone, outcrops, fjords, cabins, and camping. Man, this person should write for you guys.
Yeah, they definitely should. Well, that's what's so great about, we have some great state parks. I mentioned Star of Rock, but White Pines is another. And, these were built many years ago, the lodges, they were done during the WPA, the Work Progress Program, and many of those exist. White Pines is one of them, Pere Marquette State Park, down along in Grafton, near Alton, Illinois. Many of these cabins and lodges exist still today and are attracting hundreds of thousands, not millions, of visitors each year to the state. And it's a great way to just unwind, disconnect from the mobile phones, the laptops, and get out and enjoy yourself up front and close with nature and spending some time. And something that's so unique that you don't see built too often today.
815 texted in and says that Springfield is less than half a tank of gas from her hometown, and they live in Crystal Lake, and I want to know what car they're driving, because that is quite a journey. They must have a very fuel-efficient vehicle.
They must. Yeah. That's good. Well, hopefully they'll get to Springfield. It's a great learning experience.
Yeah, for sure. Corey, do you mind staying on the line? Because I really want to talk after this commercial break about the Illinois State Fair and about the eclipse, and both those things are happening next month. So Corey Jobe,
yes, perfect.
Illinois State Tourism Director, is going to stay on the line. We'll chat about that in a second here on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 champion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I just want to stay in the sun where I find, I know it's hard sometimes.
Liar. It's John Hansen for Dane Neal here on 720 WGN. Happy to be here in for Dane, and we're talking with Corey Jobe. Corey Jobe is the state tourism director, and Corey, man, we've been having a lot of people call in and text in. Before we get to talk about the state fair, though, that's coming up soon, right? Next month.
Coming up August 10th to the 20th.
And then we got the eclipse. That's right around the same time, right?
Yeah, it's August 21st, and a lot of events happening the weekend of. So there's a lot of excitement downstate.
We're going to get to that in just a second, but we've had a lot of people calling in with their favorite little places in Illinois. And let's get to Lisa. Lisa, you got a little favorite secret place.
Well, do you know the old Balmoral Racetrack has been turned into a new horse show facility called Hits Balmoral Park? And next weekend, they're going to be having a veterans event around the Sergeant Reckless book, which is it'll be the Korean veteran or the Korean Veterans War memorial book on Sergeant Reckless. There's a really cool little microbrewery down in Crete.
You got me. Alicia, you know how to get me.
is in Crete, the Balmoral Racetrack. And the microbrewery is called Evil Horse, and they've created a beer called Sergeant Reckless Beer. So we're going to do a veterans event down there with the author of the Sergeant Reckless book. Be free beer tastings for veterans. If the veterans come in, they get free admission to the park. They'll be put into the VIP lounge.
Wow.
They get free Sergeant Reckless. So any veterans and everybody, we'd love everyone to come. But it's a really kind of cool event, and you'll get to meet a filmmaker from the Chicago area who's doing a Wounded Warrior program documentary. And
Lisa, that sounds absolutely incredible. What an awesome organization and event to do at a really cool place. Hey, Lisa, thank you very much for the phone call. We really appreciate
That's okay. No problem. Thanks.
Yeah, 720. So, again, that is at the Balmoral Park, which apparently has been changed around. That sounds awesome, Corey. You want to go?
Yeah. Well, I know very well what's happening there. It's great. It's a new redemptive reuse of the old racetrack and a lot of events. Obviously, special events, functions, those bring a lot of visitors in from around the Midwest, and we're pretty excited what's happening there.
All right, we got another phone call. Nick, you got a spot in Illinois that you love to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. Afternoon, guys. If you don't have the luxury to be able to travel and you live in the Northwest Burbs, there's this lovely lake called Lake Arlington. It's actually a man-made lake in Arlington Heights, about 20-some years old now. I was fortunate enough to grow up right on the lakeside there. So there's houses there. You can bike. There's a walking path. And it's a really safe place to go just enjoy yourself.
And it's really not too far away, Arlington Heights. Nick, thank you for the phone call. Corey, you want to go to Lake Arlington, have a beer on the lake?
Well, you know, that's the great thing. You, a lot of park districts, a lot of communities around the suburbs, around the state have created, you know, some great outdoor recreation opportunities, whether it's bike trails, walking paths, man-made lakes to go fishing. That's all a part of enjoying the summertime and get outdoors and enjoy recreation. It's a lot of fun.
I'm glad you're being a good sport about this. We didn't tell you, Corey, we were going to be taking phone calls, but
oh, no.
It must inspire you to hear people that love the state have their places that they love and share it with everybody else.
Absolutely. I'm learning something, so that's great.
All right, so the Illinois State Fairgrounds down in Springfield. I've been to the state fair. Brett and I went with his family. I've gone a couple times. Kesha played there a few years ago, and we got to see
right.
Kesha. And I went through, they have this tour of the foods of the world. There's a really cool, I don't even know what you call it. It's like a little, it's almost like when you go up a mountain on a ski lift, but it just is kind of a parallel one to the ground, gets, 20 feet on up there. Man, the Illinois State Fair is a good time.
It is. They also have the giant slide. You got to visit the giant slide at the main gate. You know, it's been going on. This is the 151st year, I believe,
wow,
of the Illinois State Fair. And if you're into country music, this is the place to be this summer. Like I said, August 10th through the 20th. But performers include Chase Rice, Brad Paisley, the Charlie Daniels Band, John Mellencamp. A lot of great performers are going to be at the Illinois State Fair this summer at very affordable prices. Alabama is also going to perform as well. So if you're into country music, the Illinois State Fair is the place to be. One of my favorite things to do at the Illinois State Fair, besides having a Bose's corn dog and eating everything on a stick, is enjoying the harness racing. It's one of the fastest tracks in the country. The harness racing is always Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of the fair. And it's just a great way to go out and enjoy the afternoon. But if you're into country music, the Illinois State Fair is the place to be in Springfield this summer.
847 texts in saying, thank God we're finally talking about things to do in this great state in the city of Chicago. Please keep it up. We absolutely will. And we're going to keep talking about the eclipse. So in case you didn't know, we're going to get this incredible eclipse coming up in August. What's the date of the eclipse, Corey? You got it on you. I can't seem to find it.
The date is Monday, August 21st.
Okay, so this eclipse, it will be a total eclipse. People were like, I remember the eclipse in 1992, which did go through the area. I forget the name of it, but it wasn't a total eclipse, and there's a difference between the two. I'm not a scientist. I can't exactly tell you what it is, but the best place to watch it, not just in the state of Illinois, but like the best place to see it in the country where the eclipse will reach peak eclipseness is in southern Illinois. It'll be as dark as can be. Corey, this is awesome.
Yeah, you know, the region is just super excited. It will be the point of greatest duration. NASA has named Macanda, Illinois, and it's just south of Carbondale. NASA will set up their camp on the campus of SIU Carbondale. They're expecting well over 50,000 people in the Carbondale market. The region's expecting 150,000 to 200,000.
Wow.
But the point of longest duration will take place in Macanda, and it's about 2 minutes and 41 seconds. Now, we haven't had an eclipse like this in the United States mainland since 1979.
Wow.
And not only will it occur this August 21st, but in 2024, we'll have a second one.
Return of the Eclipse? Eclipse 2?
The Eclipse.
The sequel.
The sequel will return. So all the great things we learned and from this one, we'll do better in 2024. But it's going to be a great time. I tell you how the region has embraced this. Ozzy Osbourne himself will be playing at a music festival called Moonstock. And this music festival is going to take place at Walker's Bluff. Walker's Bluff Vineyard is this premier destination in Carbondale, something that you don't see probably anywhere in the Midwest. It's acres and acres of outdoor recreation, great restaurants, fantastic winery. They have a wine cave, which is pretty unique.
Those are two awesome words to put together.
There you go, wine cave. And they're going to perform. They're going to do this big music festival, and Ozzy Osbourne will perform. That music festival is going to run, I believe, starting on Friday and running through Monday the 21st. But, you know, what is great about the region, the Shawnee National Forest in itself is a great destination. Again, it's fantastic hiking, yeah, biking, horseback riding, zip lining, but that's also home to the oldest wine trail in the Midwest, which is the Shawnee Wine Trail. Over 20 different wineries in the region. There are still hotel rooms available.
That's what I was going to ask, because I was looking for some, and it is hard. You got to do a little research.
You know, John, you do, and I tell you, the best place to go is probably a website. It's called www.southernillinoiseclipse.com, and then you can also go to our website at enjoyillinois.com and check out trip ideas and itineraries that are around the region for the solar eclipse. And even Amtrak is getting in on the ball game. Amtrak's going to be offering up to 30% discounted tickets on the Illini and Saluki lines for the week, traveling down to the region. So it's going to be a fun time. You get to see this total solar eclipse. Scientists are also telling me that during that 2 minutes and 41 seconds, the temperature will probably drop over 20 degrees. So we might enjoy that in the middle of August. That, so,
and I'm sure the birds will shut up and the insects will talk. I can't wait for the eclipse. I can't wait for Michael Bay's Eclipse 2 coming in 2024. And Corey Jobe, we got to run. Thank you so much for joining us today. Man, there are a lot of hidden places in our state. Not so hidden places, but it's a great state to explore. Thanks for your time.
Hey, John, take care. Have a good day.
More On the Road with Dane Neal with John Hanson here on 720 WGN coming up in a bit.
Can't you see I'm in misery? We made a start, now we're apart. There's nothing left.
720 WGN, John Hanson in for, I almost said in for Esmeralda Leon, who I normally co-host with. Nope, I'm in for Dane Neal on the road. And Lise, this song is from Greece, right?
Yes,
it is. So this will all make a little bit more sense here on why we're playing that song in just a moment. Hey, I just want to say I really appreciate everyone that called in with those suggestions on where to go in our great state. I love when everyone joins the conversation. 312-981-7200. Please send us a text where you're road tripping today if you're on the road. Hopefully you're not on the Kennedy or maybe the inbound Dan Ryan. A little bit messy out there, but just relax, roll down the windows. It's a gorgeous day. Turn up the radio. Turn up 720 WGN. And as long as you're not the one driving, the passenger, please send us a text. We want to find out where you're off to on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon here in the Chicago area. Great place you can go tonight, really any weekend or weekday night. It's a little bit of a stretch from the Chicago area, but there's plenty of areas like this in Chicago. I'm talking about the drive-in movie theater. A lot of you out there are probably saying, oh yeah, of course, we went to the drive-in when we were kids. Are there even drive-ins around? There are drive-ins still around. Maybe you're a millennial and you've never been to the drive-in. Why would I roll my car up there and go to a drive-in when I can just watch it on Netflix or something like that? I've got to tell you, it is really a great experience. And we have Mike Haroon on the phone right now. He's the owner of the Harvest Moon Drive-In in Gibson City, Illinois. And Mike, thank you so much for joining us here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
I got to say, I'm a huge fan of the Harvest Moon Drive-In. I was just there last weekend, last Saturday, a double feature of Spider-Man and Wonder Woman. It was a great experience. I've been going every single year for about the past 15 years after I used to live in Champaign-Urbana. You run a great operation there, and you just must absolutely love what you get to do every day.
I'm blessed, man. I get to do what I love. It's the one thing I tell people I want to do to the day I die.
And you're going to.
And I will. No, I will. And both my sons will take over after I go. So it should be around for hopefully many more years.
Well, we were there last weekend. It was a birthday celebration. How long has the drive-in been there?
It opened in 1954.
Wow. That's so incredible.
I've run it myself for 28 years.
And, you know, in this day and age, again, like I said, a lot of people don't know maybe that there are even drive-ins still around. If you want to go there from Chicago down to Harvest Moon, you can take 57 and get off, I think, at 52 in Onarga, and it cuts on over to Gibson City. If you're in more of the southwest suburbs, take 55 down to 47 and then head south, and you can't miss it. It's right off 47. Mike, I wonder if you could talk about why people should go to the drive-in if they haven't experienced it ever or in the last few years.
Because it's a great experience. You can come out, you bring your lawn chairs. It's like going to a party, except there's no alcohol. Kids are out playing in front of the screens. We have large grass areas, picnic tables, and we have a carousel. We run free for the kids before the movie. And it's just a very fun place. If you have a dog, you're welcome to bring your dog with you. You know, of course, he has to be on a leash, and you have to clean up after it, but as far as that goes, you know, in this weather, we have several dogs. I had my dog there last night. You know, we practice what we preach, and I want people to come out and have fun. That's what it's all about. We don't have tons of rules. I don't really have any problems. I appreciate that for my customers. We were voted number 3 in the nation as far as drive-ins, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, you absolutely should be. Now, it can't be easy, because I know a couple years ago, having followed you guys, there were some issues with the digital transformation for movies, and you were mandated essentially to upgrade all of your projection systems. But man, and I know that was tough to get through, and a lot of people rallied to help make that happen. But man, it's an incredible look. It's an incredible sound. I think it's an even better experience than going to the movie theater.
Well, we do. We're 100% digital. We have great sound. If you have a great radio in your car, you're going to have fabulous sound. The picture quality is good. I mean, it's better than good. It's excellent.
Yeah. Did you grow up going to drive-ins, Mike?
I did not.
Really?
No, actually, this one, a friend of mine told me about this drive-in. It had been closed. When I got there, it was called the Prairie with the Poles, because it had been closed for a few years. Uh-huh. There was no electric, no water. And my brilliant mind says, you know, this could be fun.
And has it been fun all of those 20-plus years?
Yeah, and I it was funny, because I came home and I told my dad I was going to open the drive-in, and he says I was crazy. You know, it was a thing of the past. But after he got telling me all that, he said, if there's anything I can do to help, I'd be happy to help you. And I thought, really? So I thought that was kind of wonderful.
Yeah. You know, and I don't want to try and romanticize it too much, because, I don't want to make it sound like I'm being inauthentic. But really, it's kind of like this slice of Americana. And what I love about what you guys do there is, during the intermission, if there is an intermission in the movie or leading up to the movies, you play the old commercials that used to play, the old go to the refreshment, get a refreshment. It transports you back to 1950 right there.
You know what I love? We play the national anthem before every show. People will stand up, and they're proud, and when it's over, they cheer. Makes your heart just jump with joy. I'm the owner, but I love it. I see it every time. It makes me very proud. We get a lot of, you know, every once in a while, we call it amateur night when we're really busy and there's some grouchy people, because there's lines.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's lines everywhere.
Yeah.
We do our best to make everything good and enjoyable, keep our prices fair.
Yeah, it's $7 to get in for adults. It's less than, of course, going to the movies. You can bring your own food in. You just got to pay like a little $5. And then
we do a $5 food permit. But the good news about a food permit is actually we're $6 inside. You either get a large butter popcorn or 2 drinks, and we donate $1 to St. Jude's.
It's wonderful.
Last year, the drive-in, we donated $9,741 to St. Jude's.
Wow.
And we donated $5,000 to New Beginnings, which is Will Rogers. And we did some other ones, too. We have a young man coming tonight who's 13 years old. I got a phone call from a friend who knew the family, and he can't go to a regular indoor theater because he has cancer. Can't be around people. He's too susceptible. So I thought, I told him I'd fix him up. Get him some popcorn and be more than happy. We got him a reserve spot.
Wow.
I want him to come out and have a wonderful time, you know, because that's what we're there for. We want those experiences that you don't get anymore. And you know how kids always are playing on their phones? You come to the drive and they're playing Frisbee.
Yeah.
All kinds of games. They're out there having a good time.
They really are. Like groups of kids. I mean, they were throwing the football around for hours up until, because people get there. What time do you guys open at before a show?
Tonight we'll be open probably by 6, and it's 3 hours before showtime. But we have stuff for them to do. They can have food. You know, they bring people, come out, and they cook, bring their own food. All grills have to be out before the show starts. But we want people to come out and enjoy themselves. We do different festivals through the year. We'll have a Fright Fest for Halloween. Well, it's in September. And we donate all the money from the Fright Fest to St. Jude's.
That's wonderful. We're talking about
put a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, we're talking about to Mike Haroon, who is the owner of the Harvest Moon Twin Drive-In Movie Theater in Gibson City. If you don't know where Gibson City is, I'm looking at the map right here, because I usually go from when I'm in Champaign-Urbana, I'll pop on over on 74, then go up 47. It's right off Route 47. So if you're in the southwest suburbs or the western suburbs, your best bet is to take the Stevenson out to 55, headed down south to Interstate or to Route 47. I believe that would be Dwight, 55 and 47. And then you take a left.
Right on Route 47. Yep. And the other good news is there's a campground in town that you can spend the night at. It's $10.
Wow. So you can really make it an overnight.
Gift in the city, yeah. A lot of people bring their campers down, and they stay there. They come to the drive and make an evening, and they can go right there. And I think $10 is such a bargain.
It sure is.
A wonderful little campground.
Hey, Mike, we got to take a quick commercial break. You mind staying on the line? And I really want to open up this conversation to anyone out there that has a really fun memory from the drive-in, maybe. 312-981-7200. Send us a text or give us a call. I would love to hear from someone that used to go to a drive-in maybe in the 50s. I know there's someone out there that used to go to a drive-in theater that's listening right now. If you can remember the movie that you saw and explain that experience, and then we'll go with Mike and make sure that we're still giving the authentic experience. I'm sure they are today. But I'd love to hear about your drive-in theater experiences, maybe the car that you remember driving and it was the perfect car to go to the drive-in for whatever reason. Please give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us if you like, and we'd love for you to join the conversation. Okay, more On the Road with Dane Neal with John Hanson coming up on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Mike Joy from NASCAR on Fox. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
On the road with Dane Neal? Nope, he's on the road himself. So it's John Hanson filling in here on this gorgeous Saturday afternoon. We're joined by Mike Haroon, who is the owner of the Harvest Moon Drive-In Theater down in Gibson City, Illinois. Mike, what are you guys showing tonight, by the way?
We've got Spider-Man on screen one and the Minions on screen two, which is Despicable Me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I mentioned that you get the kids packed into one and then maybe the teenagers and the adults in the other one.
Yeah, they're doing really well. I was really surprised last night. We were very busy. I think tonight we'll have a great crowd. And the weather's absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, it's absolutely perfect. Hey, Mike, guess what? We got a lot of phone calls of people, their memories of the drive-in, and you can listen along here with me. Let's go to John. John, you got a memory from the drive-in? Hello, John. Can you hear me here? Yeah, you're on the air.
Yes.
So what was your memory of the drive-in, John?
Hello?
John, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I was trying to switch you off of Bluetooth.
It's okay. So, go ahead.
My memory of going to the drive-in, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, was going to the drive-in at 72nd and Western. All of us would pile into my first car when I got in high school was a 79 Pontiac Bonneville. One person would drive up front and pay, and we literally had three people in the trunk, myself.
Oh, don't tell one other person. We got a drive-in owner on the line right now. I'm sure that now, Mike, I imagine that you guys, you have really capable workers at the front to make sure no one's sneaking in, right, Mike?
That's right. We've had them sneak in. That's part of going to the drive-in. I always tell the story. We had to put on the marquee that we're going to have trunk check that night. And now you would think if it's on the marquee, you wouldn't want to come in trunk. We checked every trunk. Had three teenagers in a grandparent's trunk. grandma and grandpa were getting the kids in.
Yeah. But that was the worst part that we did, though. We behaved ourselves once we got in there.
And you bought some popcorn to make sure they stayed in business, right, John?
Yeah, we did.
Absolutely. Hey, John, thank you for the phone call. We really appreciate that. Let's go to Betty. Lise was giggling over there. Betty, you've got a good memory from the drive-in?
Hi, is this really you?
This is really me. This is John, yes.
Okay. Hi, John. I'm Betty Jo from Indiana, and I got a story for you.
Okay.
1958, 95th, I believe. I'm not really sure the exact address, but there's a lot of buildings there now.
Mm-hmm.
1958, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Gulliver's Travels. It was the Starlight Drive-In, which was unusual because they usually showed movies that weren't exactly friendly movies.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, the anniversary of that blind date was 60 years ago tomorrow.
Wow. And that was 60 years ago tomorrow. You went there on a blind date.
I married that blind date 2.5 years later.
And how long were you guys married for?
We were married for 47 years, and he passed away about 9 years ago.
Well, Betty, I'm sorry to hear about him passing.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that passing. But that is just a memory that I mean, it's got to be as fresh as day for you.
It is. When they were talking about driving, I giggled and I said, if they're looking for callers, I definitely. I got to get my fingers moving quick.
So, Betty, I got to ask, you went on a blind date at the drive-in, and I'm sure you guys were as well-behaved as could be, but did he sneak did he sneak in a kiss at the end of the night?
He tried to. But it didn't work.
It didn't work.
No, I didn't know him.
Betty,
he seemed like a nice guy. He called 2 weeks later, and he asked me out.
Betty, things are way different these days, but that story is sweet as can be. Betty, thank you for that trip down memory lane. And again, sorry about the loss of your husband, but what a wonderful memory that you guys share together.
I got a lot of them, but that is a good one.
And happy anniversary tomorrow for the blind date.
Thank you.
What a wonderful story. Betty, thank you so much. And Mike, man, I bet even today people are matchmaking at the drive-in.
Oh, yeah. I've had families, you know, I've watched kids grow up there, and I've watched them get married, and they bring their kids out. I've been there long enough. It's very interesting, and it's a wonderful, just wonderful. I tell people they're my family. I see their wedding photos. You know, if you've been to some place that many years, you really get to know your customers.
Oh, yeah. Especially at a place like that, yeah.
Yeah, we're a small town, USA, so a lot of my customers are just year after year, they've been coming back, and it's very, very rewarding.
Yeah. That was a wonderful story from Betty. Let's go to Molly. Molly, when was the drive-in experience that you're about to tell us about?
1952.
Oh!
We had gotten our first car since the war. My dad had sold the car to support two families when he was a private that drafted into the Army. And in 1952, he had managed to accumulate enough money we could have a car again. And the first thing we did was go to a restaurant where they brought the food out on a tray. And the same night, I think the first night day we had the car, we went to the drive-in movies.
Do you remember what you saw, Molly?
Come Back, Little Sheba, which was not appropriate for an 8 or 9 year old child.
Oh, well, that's just the way it was done back then. Hey, the kid's in the car already. We can't. Where are we going to take him? We're already stuck here. We got the speaker hooked up. But so you remember that experience pretty well, huh?
Oh, I remember it as clear as anything. Yeah, we waited a long time for a car and then a TV, I think even longer, because my father was recovering from financial stress during the war.
Molly, that's a wonderful story. Have you been to a drive-in anytime recently?
You know, I'm calling you from Dallas, Texas.
Okay.
And there is a drive-in not too far from here, within maybe a 40-minute drive. And we plan to take the dogs, because we just hate the fact we can't take the dogs to the movies. And we're going to take the dogs and go to the drive-in.
Oh, Molly, that's a wonderful story. And I'm glad you're going to be able to reimagine that day back in 1952 by going to the drive-in with your dogs. Molly, thank you so much for the phone call all the way down to Dallas, Texas.
It's good to listen to you, John.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Man, Mike, when you hear stories like that, that people remember that 52, we're talking about 65 years later, that must give you hope that long after, you know, you say you're going to work there till the day you die, long after you're gone, long after I'm gone, kids will be remembering their experiences in Gibson City for the rest of their lives.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, so once again, remind people where people can find the Harvest Moon Drive-In.
We're on Route 47 south of Gibson City. If you're leaving Chicago, you can get on 57. You take it all the way down to Route 9, make a right, takes right into Gibson City. At the only stoplight in town, make a left, and we're on the right side. Pretty simple.
That really is small town America when you say the only stop sign in town, here's what you do. Hey, Mike, thank you for all that you do. You've provided me with a lot of memories. I love going there. I really appreciate it, and have a great day, okay?
Thank you.
And go to the movies. Oh, that was so fun. Molly and Betty, the sweetest people. Movie experiences from the 1950s. Oh, that just warms my heart. All right, we're going to wrap things up next on the road with Dane Neal with John Hansen here on 720 WGN.